Good morning, church family. It's good to be on vacation. I want to introduce to you one of the most special people I've ever met in my life. Pastor Todd Rainwater is going to minister the Word of God to us this morning. And I'm here to tell you he is probably one of the most authentic ministers you will ever hear. What he says to you this morning, I can assure you, he is living. He is a close personal friend of our families, myself personally. He actually, many of you know, was our donor for our son Joel's liver transplant. He's a lifesaver and he's a life giver. And he deserves our warmest hospitality and love and respect this morning. So why don't you join me in welcoming him as I share the pulpit with him this morning at Community Bible Church.
Good morning, friends. It's great to be with you this morning here in the Highlands. I enjoyed a wonderful sunny drive up from Atlanta this morning. And though I'm a guest, I feel like part of your family. I love you from Atlanta. Often, and I'm so thankful for your pastor, Gary Hewins, for your assistant pastor, Greg Steele and their families, Steve Henson and his family, and so many of the Mount Perrin former family here, and we love you, and I'm thankful to be here and open the Word with you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, we're going to start at the last part of chapter 13 and cruise through some of chapter 14 as well. So you can open your Bibles there. A lot of the passages today will also be on the screens so that we can follow along together and stay connected that way as well. A 90-second history lesson as we open up the scriptures today. God made a promise. God made a promise to a man named Abraham that he would be the father of a nation. He made a promise to Abraham that not only would he be a father of a nation, but that he would have those descendants and he would give them a land of his own. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who God changed his name to Israel, in his day and time, there was a great famine. And Israel, or Jacob, took his 70 people in his family and moved to Egypt where he could find food and provision for his family. Well, 70 people in Egypt, in Goshen, over 400 years, turned into over 2 million people. And that's where we find ourselves today. When they were 2 million people strong, the Egyptians got nervous and concerned about how many Israelites there were. They were so nervous and upset that they made them their slaves and they treated them very harshly, brutally. They treated them, thinking if they press them down and subject them, that they won't have to fear them anymore. But the more they subjected them and the more they pressed them and oppressed them, the more they multiplied, and there they were. And their oppression and their brutality caused the Israelites to call out to God, saying, God, save us, deliver us from these people. And God heard their prayer. And God delivered them. And that's where we read in the first part of Exodus about those 10 plagues that God used to deliver his people out of the land of Egypt. Taking them, fulfilling his promise to take them, Abraham's descendants, into a promised land. They came as 70, as a family. They're leaving as a nation of 2 million under the leadership of Moses. They've just left. They're heading out the door. The dust has hardly settled in Goshen. They've plundered the people of Egypt, and off they go. And that's where we find them in Exodus 13, the last part of that chapter. I want to read a few verses to you. This is Exodus 13, starting with verse 17. You can follow along. It said, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them. This is interesting. God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though it was the shortest route to the promised land. Listen to God's reasoning. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them, I haven't used this word in a long time, a roundabout way. God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. So the Israelites left Succoth and camped near Ethim on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, this is the plan of God, watch this. And once again, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this. This is all part of God's plan. I have planned this, why? In order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. We all on the same page? Is that good? Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, it's my prayer that, Lord, we would all open our hearts to the work of your Spirit, open our minds to the truth of your word. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. May we know more of who you are, how you act, how much you love us, and are intricately and intimately involved in our lives. Father, I thank you for your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet today and a light unto our path. We hide it in our hearts today that we might not sin against you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Come on, one more time. Amen. This might be a little participation here. I don't know how Pastor Gary does it, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And when God brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt by the power of his mighty hand, he didn't do it by accident. It wasn't an afterthought. He had a plan. You know, contrary to the idea that some people have, that God is distant or removed or somehow absent or disconnected from our lives, God had a plan, and God has a plan for you and for me. To borrow the words from Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And God's plan in this point in history was to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. And in doing so, he would reveal his glory and he would show the world that he is the Lord. And God is at work in your life. And if you ever wonder what he's doing, he's all about glorifying himself. And he's all about revealing that he is Lord through my life and through your life. But I think this is interesting, and I kind of smile when I say it and when I read it, that God's plan did not lead them down the shortest route. He did not lead them down the main road through the Philistine territory. Rather, God's plan for the Israelites was to lead them in a roundabout way through the wilderness. And that's just a good place to pause for a half second and say, does anybody familiar with the roundabout way that God sometimes takes us? Am I the only one? God sometimes leads us not in the shortest path from the promise to the promised land, but sometimes God's plan is to lead us in a roundabout way to where he's leading us and where he's taking us. While God's plan is always to prosper us, it's never to harm us. He's always about fulfilling his promise to us, loving us, forgiving us, encouraging us, being good to us. I've got news for us today. Sometimes that plan leads us in a roundabout path. Why would God do something like that? You see, God knows you and God knows me. He knows our tendencies. He knows our habits. He knows how we respond in adversity. He knows how we respond in prosperity. God knows us, I think, better than we know ourselves sometimes. And he knows what the future holds, and he knows what it's going to take for us to succeed there. For the Israelites, listen to why God led them. He gives us an insight. Listen to why God led them in a roundabout way. He says, if the people are faced with a battle, what might happen? They might change their minds and return to Egypt. Egypt was the place of slavery. Egypt was a place of bondage. Egypt was a place where they were treated harsh and cruel, and they were limited from being who God wanted them to be. And he was trying to bring them out of that. But how many people know that when we face battles, sometimes we revert back to what's familiar, even though it's less than what God wants us to be? Many times, though, it's in the roundabout way, it's in the roundabout path that God does things and accomplishes things in our lives that we might not otherwise get. You see, it was in the roundabout path that God led the Israelites, where he began to display his glory and he began to reveal that he is God and he is Lord. It was in the roundabout way where he made a way where there seemed to be no way, which we'll read about more of that in a minute. It was in the roundabout way where God opened a path through a sea where they walked across on dry land. It was in the roundabout way where God himself rescued the people and delivered them from their enemies. There's a lot that can happen in the roundabout way. But here's my problem, and maybe you're in the same boat with me. I like the shortest path. Do I have any takers for the shortest path in the room? Come on, raise your hand if you like the shortest path. Be bold about it. I like the shortest path between the promise and the promised land. I don't want to go around for 20 years looking for God's promise. I prefer the short route. My flesh loves the short route as well. I love the short route to peace, the short route to success, the short route to satisfaction, the short route to fulfillment. You know, I love the short route to financial success. I'd love to win the lotto. You know, who wants anything with, you know, spending less and saving more and cutting back? I'd rather just win the lotto, the short route to success, right? I want more peace in my home, more peace in my life. But the word says that I must seek peace. I must pursue it. I must work hard for it. That sounds a little bit more like the roundabout path. I want to be reconciled with this person in my life. And the short path says, you need to fix your problems. But the roundabout path helps me realize that I have some attitudes and some thinking and some behavior that God wants to work with, God wants to adjust, God wants to grow me up in and give me victory over. Sometimes it's the roundabout path that God does some great things. See, God's plan includes working on our character. It means growing our faith. It means preparing us for the future. I love the short route. I'm in danger sometimes in the workout. I don't know how many of you guys work out. It's Father's Day. Maybe you can take a break from the gym today. I don't know. We have a new city park near my house, and it has a beautiful running trail that's 1 mile long. And a lot of times when I want to go exercise or run, I'll go park at the park and run that trail. The problem is I set out in my mind to do 3 miles, but on mile two, I'm cruising around and I'm thinking, you know, this is probably good enough right here. I'm better when I run point to point on my runs, because then once I get out there, I have no choice. I've got to come all the way back. My flesh likes the shortest route, but sometimes God's accomplishing more than I know in the roundabout path. Several years ago, a good friend of mine named Nelson, I'd asked him to pray for me. I was going through a difficult time, and I'd asked him to pray for me and share with me if he felt like God began to put something in his heart about what I was walking through. Nelson had been reading a book that was written by an admiral in the Navy, and it was a story about an aircraft carrier that was around in World War II. It was heading to a large battle, and en route, the aircraft carrier stopped en route, and it made a 180-degree pivot and started going in the other direction. And as Nelson was reading this book, he felt like, that's something Todd needs to know. As he was reading the story, he goes, Todd, what season of life you're in is you felt like this is the direction the Lord wants you to go in, but yet for some reason or another, you've pivoted in the mid-route, and now you're facing a complete different direction. You're going, this isn't where I thought I was going. I thought I was going this way, God. The promised land's over there, but I'm facing this way. And he began to tell me more about the story. You see, and I didn't know this, but he said, in that particular story, they had to pivot the ship so that the planes could land on it properly. Planes, when they land on an aircraft carrier, must land into the wind. If they're going with the wind, it is danger of running off the end of the runway. So when the ship pivoted, it was to bring something onto the plane that it didn't, onto the ship that it didn't have there before. And Nelson began to say, that's exactly what's happening in your life right now. It feels like the roundabout. It feels like a purposeless move. It actually feels contrary to what you think God's doing in your life, but yet God's putting something in your life. God's putting something on your life. God's working in ways and depositing things you're going to need for the future, and that's what that turn is all about. Be patient. God hasn't forgotten you, he was telling me. God still has a plan, and once that's been accomplished, you will pivot back around and head back to where God wants you to go. I want to tell you today that God is at work in your life, that God does have a plan. Are you in a roundabout season? Are you in a time where things look completely contradictory to what you thought God was doing in your life? Do you feel like you're taking the long way around? I want to encourage you today to not lose hope. I want to encourage you today that he who began a good work in you, yes, he will continue it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has a plan. Would you just say those words with me? God has a plan. Fathers, would you say that with me over your family? God has a plan. Moms, would you say that over your family? God has a plan. Let's say that over the Highlands. God has a plan. But sometimes that plan includes a roundabout route. Well, not only does it include a roundabout route, but sometimes God's plan, the God who loves you, his plan includes hardening Pharaoh's heart. You see, as Israel traveled out and the dust hadn't even settled yet, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. They were like, what did we just do? We let the entire workforce of the nation leave. And so Pharaoh's heart hardened one more time, and he got 600 chariots, 600 charioteers, all his troops, all his warriors, and they got their weapons, and out they went to chase down the Israelites. They weren't going to let them go after all. They finally caught up to them when the Israelites were camped by the Red Sea. Listen to what happened. This is Exodus 14, starting with verse 10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, listen to what they say in a time of panic. Listen to this. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. They panicked. They felt trapped. The scripture says they saw the Egyptians coming, which means if they saw them coming, they weren't looking at the Lord. They lost sight of God's plan. And when we lose sight of God's plan, What happens in my life is I get tunnel vision, and all I can see is the negative things happening around me, and I fail to see the God who is at work over me. And that's what all the Israelites could see. All they could see is we're about to be overtaken. We're about to die. Why did you bring us out here? There are not enough graves back there. What have you done to us? They were terrified, fearful, anxious, confused, overwhelmed. They were irrational, frantic. Yet God had a great plan, a plan for freedom, a plan for deliverance, a plan to take them to the promised land. He was going to be their God, and they were going to be his people. But God knew the Israelites. And when faced with a battle, they would likely return to the familiar, run back to Egypt. In their fear, they might compromise. But this time, they couldn't run. In front of them was the Red Sea. On this side and this side was the mountain of Migdol and Pi-Hethrah. Behind them was the armies of Egypt. They were trapped. They couldn't go anywhere. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you were surrounded? I lost my job and I'm surrounded by nothing but bills and tax. I don't know what to do, Lord. I got a doctor's report. All the statistics say this. I feel surrounded. Is there any hope for me? Just found out I was pregnant. Who can I tell? What do I do? I just got served a notice. Is there any hope? I'm trapped. I'm anxious, confused. I'm worried. Those are the moments the devil loves to get in there and stir that stuff up and cause us to act irrational and get confused and knee-jerk and harm ourselves and harm others. How do you respond when you feel trapped? And again, the enemy loves to scream in our ear in those times and tell us there's absolutely, positively no way out. He loves to tell us we're without hope and God doesn't even know where you are. Stirring the panic, the worry, the fear, the dread, the concern. He stirs us. We're upset. We're frustrated. Listen to the words of Moses as Israel felt trapped and overcome and at their end. Listen to God's instructions to his people. He says this in Exodus 14, 13 and 14. He says this, but Moses told the people, would y'all just read this aloud with me? Let's read this statement aloud. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Look at your neighbor and say, just stay calm, man. Look at the other side. Tell them back. Say, don't be afraid. Hey, I got good news for you. The Lord is a great rescuer. The Lord fights for his people. We don't have to fear. We don't have to panic. The Lord will fight for us. The Lord will fight for your family. The Lord will fight for your health. The Lord will fight for your provision. The Lord will fight for your children. The Lord will fight for you. You're not alone. And that's exactly what God did. Be calm. Stand still. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to fight for you. And that's exactly what he did. Listen to the next verse. 14 verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Say, get moving with me. Get moving. That was weak. Get moving. There we go. Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Listen to how this worked. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Praise the Lord. When the Lord fights for you, he can make a way where there seems to be no way. When the Lord fights for you, he can open up a path that you never, ever, ever saw coming. When the Lord fights for you, it doesn't matter who your enemies are, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When Jesus is your Savior, there is nothing that is impossible for you. You are more than an overcomer through him. And for the Israelites that day, again, he made a way where there seemed to be no way. He opened up a path through the water. And listen again to Moses, the Lord's instructions to Moses. When the people began to panic, God began to fight. When the people began to panic, that's when God began to fight. When the people began to panic, that's when God began to fight. And he said, it's time to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hands over the sea, and watch me do my thing. That may sound contradictory, because on one sense he says, be calm. Be still. And on another sense, he says, get moving. Raise your hands over the problem. Declare what I tell you to say over this issue and watch me fight for you. But here's, it's not contradictory. When we're in a season of panic, when we feel like everything's upside down, when we feel like the enemy's rushing in like a flood, when we get nervous and upset and worried and fearful, the word is to us, be still, be calm, stand your ground. Having done all you can do, still stand. Watch God fight for you. But when you're in that battle and you begin to get a word from the Lord, maybe a friend encourages you, maybe Pastor Gary comes and preaches a word to you, maybe you get something from one of these great songs that sings and sinks into your heart, or maybe you open the word and God shows you a promise for you, that's the time to get moving. That's the time to take that promise and take a step forward. That's the time when you raise your hands in praise to God and say, God, I can't make this happen, but according to your word and according to your promises, I raise my hand and I speak that promise over this problem, and I'm expecting and I'm trusting that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. You're going to open the waters and we're going to be able to walk through, and what wants to consume me is going to be taken over and it's not going to consume me anymore. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of it. I want to tell you this morning that God knows right where you're at. I want to encourage some of you that are in a time of panic to stand still, to don't freak out, don't lose it, don't let that confusion and that the consume you. Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes back on the Lord. Remember that he has a plan. If all you can do today when you know not else to do is say, God has a plan for me, and let that sink into your spirit so that you don't knee-jerk and you don't run out to cause your own problem, then all you just repeat to yourself over and over and over that day if you have to, God has a plan for me. He didn't bring me out here to make me die in the wilderness. He didn't take me around this roundabout path to cause me trouble. This isn't the end for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? But once he starts showing you those promises, get in that word, ask him to show you something, trust that he's going to speak to you, and when he does, It's time to get moving. That means the Lord's beginning to fight for you. That means raise your hands in victory. That means raise your hands in praise. That means raise your hands and surrender to what He's doing. And now I want you to speak with boldness what the Lord shows you. In Jesus' name, I declare healing in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking for provision. In Jesus' name, I'm asking that you give me wisdom where I'm all confused. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking you to make a way where there seems to be no way. And He will open up those paths for you and for me. Listen to how this story ends. This is Exodus 14, 26 and following. It says, when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hands over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians in their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers and the entire army of Pharaoh. All of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That's how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before Him. And listen to this last statement. They put their faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses. I want to encourage you today that no matter where you find yourself, to put your faith in God. Don't allow all that's happening around you to cause you to panic. Look up. Put your faith in God. I want to tell you today that your God is a promise keeper. Your God opens paths in the sea. Your God rescues you from the enemy. Your God delivers you from slavery, and your God will fight for you. He has a plan for you. In the middle of what you're walking through, it might be a roundabout way, but He has a plan. He's accomplishing more than you know, even in the daily stuff you're walking through. He may be working on your character. He may be working on your faith. He may be putting things into your life you don't even know about that's preparing you for your future. If while you're walking God's path and while you're in the middle of that, the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, I encourage you to stay calm. Don't panic. Stand your ground and repeat that God has a plan for me. And when God begins to show you that plan, and when He begins to open up a way, you raise your hands in worship. You raise your hands in prayer. You raise your hands in praise. And you speak out what the promises the Lord has put in your life. And you watch the Lord fight for you and open a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen. God has a remnant of faith here in the Highlands, and it's you guys. God is doing tremendous things in your life, in your family, in this church, and in this community. God has a great plan for you. God is at work among you. He's a great deliverer, rescuer, and warrior on your behalf. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? I want to read with you and declare. More than read, I want to declare this. You know the difference, right? Sometimes you just read things as if it's on a screen or on a piece of paper. But other times, you declare it. It means it's not just up there, but it's out there. It's like when we say it, we partner with what God's already doing, and we speak life to it. And it becomes life and hope and strength to us in the middle of what we're walking through. After the Israelites had crossed over, they sang and declared a song of praise. And I want us to together declare this song of praise over our lives. Maybe there's a specific situation that as we read this today and as we declare it, you by faith begin to speak it over whatever's going on in your life. You begin to speak it over your family. You begin to speak it over your situation, over your business, or over this community, or over your children. I believe God will hear. I believe God is already at work. Can we declare this aloud together? Let's read and declare together. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army he has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep water, and they sank into the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow those who rise against you. You unleash your blazing fury. It consumes them like straw. The blast of your breath, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood straight like a wall. The heart of the sea, the deep waters became hard. The enemy boasted, I will chase them and catch up with them. I will plunder them, consume them. I will flash my sword. My powerful hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders. Would you just raise your hands and declare this last verse with me? Like Moses raising his hands over that sea, would you just declare this last verse with me? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen.
God is able. He will never fail. Oh, he is almighty God. He's greater than all we seek, greater than all we ask. For he has done great things. Lifted up, he defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In his name, oh, we've
song is new to you, listen to the words. If you know the song, please sing along with us. God is with us.
God is with us. God is on our side. Oh, he will make a way far above all we know, far above all we hope. Oh, he has done great things. Lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life, our God is able, in his name, oh, we've overcome, for the Lord, our God is able.
He's with us. Our side, he'll never let us go. Sing that with us.
Oh, God is with us, and he will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. Oh, God is for us. Oh, he has open arms. He will never fail. He will never fail us. Lifted up, he defeated the grave.
simply put your hand on the shoulder of someone next to you. Father, today, we take a moment and pray one for another today. Lord, we thank you that in your name that we overcome. In the name of Jesus, who defeated the grave, Lord, we overcome. So, Lord, we thank you today that our God is able. And we pray for this person on our right today, Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan for them and their family and all that they're walking through. Lord, today I thank you that they, greater is you that is in them than, Lord, the enemies that are in this world. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that in the middle of whatever's going on, Lord, that they would get their eyes off of what's going on around them. And Lord, we pray that you would help them to set their eyes upon you. And Lord, we pray for this person on our left today. Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray today that you would help them, Lord, to stand upon your promises. Lord, I thank you that if they are walking through something, that you would reveal to them today a promise on which they can stand. Lord, that you would give them the strength in the middle of their battle to get moving, to stand upon that promise, to not be paralyzed by fear, but Lord, come into agreement with what you're doing, to raise their hands in victory, to raise their hands in prayer, and to declare over everything that's around them, Lord, that Jesus is Lord and that their God is fighting for them. So Lord, we thank you. And Holy Spirit, Lord, we welcome you. We thank you. And Lord, as we close this service, we thank you that you not only are here in this place and in CBC Highlands, but Lord, you leave with us as we go back into our homes, as we go back into the marketplace this week, as we go back into our lives, God. I thank you that we carry the victory of Christ with us. So we honor you in this place. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. It's been a joy and an honor to be here at CBC with you guys. I love you. God bless you in the Lord. Amen.